Blog Talk Radio.
You're the one that's supposed to go, "Ah, that's the brains." That's you. That's your part.
Now, if I remember correctly, they were called Africa, right?
No, that's Toto, jackass.
Toto? Who was the group that was called Africa?
And Christy hates that song so much that she actually came on right as it ended, specifically.
Awesome. I
hate it.
Is
that on purpose?
Was there a song in Africa?
Yeah, there is. Just a little bit.
I thought they sang that song, but yeah, no, you're right. I guess Toto sang that.
What did Africa sing? That song is awesome. I love that song.
Yeah.
What did Africa sing then? Asia? Or that's a group in
Africa. Africa sang Asia. who sang...
No, Asia sung Heat in the Moment.
No, Asia... Africa sung Asia, who sung Chicago, who sung Boston.
Right.
Yeah. So how are we all doing? How are you guys doing? How's everything? How's everybody? How are you guys doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
You guys all alive and stuff? No zombie callers?
Not yet.
Zombies?
No.
You guys,
we should do an all zombie show for 45 minutes. Each one of us can say nothing but brains to each other.
I feel like that's what we do normally anyway.
Okay.
No, usually it's genitals. Usually it's just cock, ass, pussy.
You guys watch Walking Dead at all?
I do.
Of course. It's a great little show. What's the point of The Talking Dead right after?
It's a comic book set. After all, Walking Dead was a comic book, so... You know, Talking Dead is like where they go to nerd out and, you know,
it's
talk
just
about
recapping this. And talking shit about a show that I just said with the same observations I just made.
I haven't seen The Talking Dead, but I have seen Talking Bad, which was on after Breaking Bad, and I liked Talking Bad even though I didn't watch it because they had stars from the show on it. Talking about the show. So that was, I liked that. I don't know shit about Talking Dead, whether they have the stars in it.
It's kind of the same premise.
I don't know. I guess if you like the show that much, it's something for you to watch. It's like a post-game show, which I really don't give a shit about.
Right.
So, you know, it's for those people who are that obsessed with the show, like they're obsessed with sports, where they can't just watch a game and be done with it. They have to watch people talking about it for 4 hours beforehand and 17 hours afterwards.
I can get a game because there's no story in a game, and you gotta, you know.
Yeah, but Mick, can you tell me as our resident sports expert and now sex offender expert, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
How do you watch like the pre and the post game shows? Like what is the I get the allure of sports. I get it. I don't agree with it, but I get it. What the fuck is the allure of the pre- and the post-game shows?
I can't give you, like, a logical answer or one that you will accept. All I can say is that, like, for most sports junkies, it's just something that we just want, like, constant, like, information. So, like, for example, so tonight is the World Series, which hopefully will not end tonight. But
who's in the World Series?
Boston,
the Red Sox.
And the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And they're probably
the Red Sox
win
and the
Cardinals. And the Cardinals.
Cardinals.
The Cardinals are in the World Series?
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's even more amazing to me than the Red Sox being in the World Series.
They're both pretty good.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, the Red Sox have at least a huge history with the World Series, but I don't hold any malice against either of those teams because
just
I hold no
record,
interest
St.
in them
St.
either.
St. Louis has more of a record than Boston does.
Oh, they do? More of a bad record?
No, a good record. St. Louis has like the second most World Series championships.
No, I mean, Boston Red Sox have a history of the World Series, though. I mean, you know, they just broke it like a couple of years ago. I mean, it's, you know.
Well, right, but I'm saying, but St. Louis is a perennially team, so them being in the World Series is not surprising.
That's surprising to me because I don't give a shit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, but the point is that I personally will not necessarily be watching the pregame because I don't give a shit about either team. But if it was the Yankees playing, I probably would be watching it just to see if there's, you know,
any
something
changes in the lineup.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's not, you're not going to be blown away by anything you're going to see or hear in a pregame or postgame show. But it's just like I said, we're junkies, so we just want it on as much as possible, basically.
You know, to me, I don't know why it popped in my head. It's the same like behind the scenes in porn shoots. Like you watch a porn DVD and they have behind the scenes. Like
I actually enjoy those. I enjoy the hell out of those.
I don't enjoy that. I don't care about
it. I love those. I mean, for a completely different reason. We lost Christy, but for a completely different reason, I enjoy those. And it's because, like, once I have to watch that kind of stuff before I jerk off. Like, it's not
right,
possible for me to watch that stuff afterwards, because the shame that I already feel having masturbated to people that I don't know and are probably being exploited for my part would be exponentially magnified by seeing what horrible, destroyed human beings they are. But if I'm watching them beforehand, it's amusing to me because they're... Huh?
For the same reason?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing just how dumb and or damaged some of these broads are. Like, it's
right.
Crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Some of them are actually pretty intelligent. Like, but
yeah, definitely
the
good.
Thing that I hate more than anything about those things is that they're not being interviewed by anybody with a brain. They're not being interviewed by somebody who knows how to ask questions. They're being interviewed by perverted douchebags who are hoping to get some kind of blowjob off of them before the shoot or after the shoot or something like that. Some scumbag fucking camera operator.
The movie things. Have you ever watched the porn awards? The interviewer on the red carpet is Dave Navarro. It's hilarious.
Oh, Dave Navarro was just, I just watched him on Sons of Anarchy, by the way. That was amusing. That was very amusing.
Really?
He was playing a vato, man. He was playing a fucking ace.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
He does the red carpet on the porn awards because basically he's just trying to fuck porn stars and just trying to find
Dave Navarro, I have no fondness for Dave Navarro whatsoever. He doesn't matter in any way, shape, or form. He's nothing. He's no one.
I can't believe he became a someone. You know what I mean? Just because he married.
I can't believe he's.
I mean, did he really though? Did he really?
Well, you know, he's doing. He's making moves on the street. You know.
He's not like an A-lister. I mean, he's.
Like I thought he would have stayed.
Yeah. The fact that I know who he is offensive to me. But oh, here she is. She's back.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for joining us once again, Christy Peterson.
Chris, did you ever date Dave Navarro?
Hell no.
He's one of the few.
Yo, she's not a hooker. She's just a baby machine, man.
Yeah.
No, Christy doesn't have a... the choices that her vagina has made are bad, but they're not... Well, I don't know. Are they plentiful? Have you had a plentiful vaginal experience, Christy?
Ew. I don't like how you guys put that. It sounded like it was Thanksgiving dinner. I'm not a turkey. I'm a human being. You know what
Sorry,
I'm saying?
What, are you having a train run on you right now, Miss Human Being?
No, I'm at the corner store.
Store. Trying to get the papers to relieve the stress of the day.
Yes.
No, she's trying to pay a phone bill is what she's trying to do.
Or pay a phone bill.
At the corner store. That's how you know that you're poor, is when you've ever paid a bill at a store.
At the check cash place.
I was just saying, I just walked right by one. Check cashing, utility bills, like, yeah, good stuff.
Damn. If you need stamps, envelopes, blue cigarettes.
So anyway, last week, last show, we were talking about the Russell Brand thing, and
I looked it up. I saw with my own eyes the interview.
You did,
and
okay.
I guess the more you see it, the more he makes sense. But I could see how someone for the first time. Who's not, a fan of his, would dismiss.
Well, I'd seen a video of him from, I think he was on MSNBC on a show called The Morning Joe with a bunch of talking heads, you know, flibberty gibbets, basically, and they treated him like he was a circus animal. You know, it was. They were more in awe of him than actually talking to him, and he was kind of like, the one thing that I have to say about the guy is that he's got no tolerance for bullshit whatsoever. And he, and the fact that they were treating him that way, and he was in the midst of this kind of, you know, arm of the spin machine, was, you know, he called him on it. He was like, listen, like, you know, I'm a person. Like, you can speak to me like that. Like, you don't have to talk to each other about me as if I'm not here.
Right.
You know, so
and
I had a...
They got his name wrong.
Yeah, I think they did get his name wrong, yeah. But I had an idea of who Russell Brand was, at least now who he is before that. I've been seeing him a lot on things. So, you know, I wasn't surprised that he made sense or anything like that. But I wanted to touch upon one of the things that he actually said, because this is probably the only thing that we didn't cover when we talked about it, is that he said that because the system is corrupt, because it doesn't represent his or really anyone's actual interest, it doesn't represent the interests of the people that make up the backbone of pretty much any of our first world countries, which is the working class. He said, I'm not participating in that system because there's no choice. Why should I vote?
Right, the voting thing, sure. Yeah,
when
I looked at the video,
whatever I vote for is meaningless to me.
There were many comments, most of them were like, oh, he doesn't vote. So you can't listen to what he says.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's dismissive of his philosophy just because he doesn't participate.
But I don't know, because we even talked about this recently, Lou, but I know that in the past we've kind of shared that philosophical ideal, which is that I refuse to vote in an election where I don't have a choice. I'm not going to vote in an election between Al Gore and George Bush because I don't believe in either of them. You know, I'm going to vote for Ralph Nader because I believe in Ralph Nader, and that means if this country's going to go to... I am one of them, and I'll tell you why. Because if this country is going to go to hell, then I want no hand in that. I don't want, even though your vote doesn't really fucking matter anyway, no matter who you put it towards. It's what state you're in. It's how many people are in your state.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, in our situation, Christy's a different story, but for the three of us, our votes really don't matter because our states are going a certain way regardless of what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's...
I vote for other reasons, like, you know, so many people, you know, being a woman and being black, you know, so I feel like I have to.
Yeah, I could see that. But to...
No, I don't disagree with that at all. I mean, you know, I would too. I mean, if somebody told me I could pee in my own toilet, you know, after my ancestors weren't allowed to do that, I'd fucking piss in my own toilet all the time.
All right. I love it. Toilet. Regardless.
But to think that, you know, everyone's dismissing his what he has to say because he doesn't, you know, pull a lever in a booth. It doesn't take away anything from what he says. And if anything, his actions out in the playing field, you know, writing an article that, you know, gets this, you know, a million readers is much more of a political action than, you know, people who... pull a lever every 4 years and are done with it. You know, and just walk. I did my part.
Yeah, I mean, I think our job as adults and voters or non-voters is to at least like be informed. Like we said, it's more impressive to me to take a stand regardless of, you know, who agrees with it. At least he's making an informed decision not to vote based on his beliefs or whatever.
Yeah, well, I think that's.
Oh, I'm
that's
voting Republicans because I like
was.
Republicans. I'm voting Democrats because I like Democrats. There's no basis for what they're doing.
Yeah, that's exactly what his point was, is that, you know, he's not making the decision not to vote based on ignorance. It's
right.
Based on disgust. And that's every time I haven't voted. So I like to vote in the local elections where you get to vote on issues, where there's actually, like, props and stuff like that come up and
I do too. I vote every time.
Yeah.
I vote every time there's an opportunity to vote, and especially local elections, because then you are affecting right where you are.
Yeah,
right.
you get to affect local statutes and the propositions that they have. I mean, those are really important, and that's a good reason to vote. But like a presidential election, like I have abstained from presidential elections because I didn't feel that I had a proper choice at all. Like the first
right.
time I voted for Ralph
yeah,
Nader,
like
I saw exactly
I said,
what happened with that. Ralph,
yeah.
Ralph, I don't know if you guys remember, but Ralph Nader was actually he was not allowed in the debates of the first presidential election that he ran for because the Democrats and Republicans pressed a concerted effort together to raise the number of signatures that he needed to be a part of the.
Well, yeah, it was percentage wise.
It was a percentage.
If you had
5%
of the vote, then or more, you could get into the debate, and they doubled it. They made it 10% or more.
I thought they had raised it to 7.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly. They definitely raised it just because, you know.
They literally raised it like a week before he was supposed to. It was that crazy,
yeah.
You know. Like
yeah.
it was that obvious too. I mean, so after that happened, and I realized, well, you know, the guy whose voice I actually believe in the most. I mean, whatever anybody thinks about Ralph Nader, the guy has been absolutely instrumental in taking companies to task for the fucked up side effects of their untested products. Like things that have been put into the marketplace that hurt people. Things that have been put into the marketplace that have not been tested for long-term uses and stuff like that. Ralph Nader has been the loudest voice in making those companies responsible for putting out faulty and deliberately hurtful products. Like, if there's any reason to respect that man, that's the one fuck. Because we have a real problem with commercialism in this country and the lack of responsibility that comes with being rampantly commercial. You know, his Consumer Reports magazine has been out there for years. And Consumer Reports' main goal is to get the voices of people who've used the product to come together and talk about that particular product in an honest way. That's been what that magazine has been about. So, I mean, you know, and his main platform was taking corporate money out of politics, which nobody's ever going to convince me that's not a good idea. Like, that's my entire life is built around the concept of corporate money being out of politics. It's a horrible thing. There's no way that could be good for people, like, ever.
Hey, Christy, I want to ask you if you what your opinion was or is when you heard if you had heard when Ralph Nader called Obama an Uncle Tom.
I did not hear that.
Yeah.
And I am shocked. I'm like, shocked.
Who called Obama an Uncle Tom?
Ralph Nader, right after the election, after he won the first election.
Shit.
Are you for real?
He called out that Uncle Tom. I don't know what the context was, but yeah, Uncle Tom. Everybody on the left, even like I remember listening to WBI, very liberal radio station here. You know, everyone excised
him.
That's
disrespectful. To be fair, Bin Laden said he was Uncle Tom too.
Really?
I don't know how that's being fair. like equating Ralph Nader to Osama bin Laden. I don't know how fair that is. But that's kind of, honestly, like, that's kind of fucked up that he called Obama and Uncle Tom. But,
that is
like, there's, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if other black people called Obama and Uncle Tom because there is an element of that floating around.
Actually, that's not the general consensus of black people, or most black people I know.
I don't think it's a general consensus, but
no,
I do think
right.
there is that sentiment somewhere.
No,
yeah,
here's the thing. He reminds us of the guy who goes to church every day. He would probably be a deacon in the church. You know what I mean? He would take his, not every day, but every Sunday. He was a good example.
Uh-huh.
You know, he tried to live a good example. There's a lot of black men out there like that. You know, they just want to do what is right, have a nice family, have a nice house, don't bother nobody, have a decent job, and just take care of their business. That's all they want in life. So, I think that's what Obama reminds us of, is that dude in the neighborhood that's like that.
I had hoped that as a, because no matter what you say, Obama is, no matter what anybody says, Obama was considered, for all intents and purposes, a civil rights leader. You know, the guy was a very vocal about civil rights in Chicago and whatnot. I just hope that he would have brought more of that to the presidential table than he has.
Right.
It's just the same old
that's
playing.
Yeah, it's kind of the same old politics as usual. I mean,
I was actually thinking about that the other day. Do you think he got elected too early? Like, do you think if he had been elected, let's say, in like 2016 or 2020, and once he got a little older, a little more established in the whole political scene,
political,
do you think he might have been more?
No,
more
not at all.
Like,
no, I think the better chance.
Probably worse. Probably, he had his that flame that you have as, when you're young.
Yeah.
So.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think
no president is young, though, so it's not like he would be like, all full of.
No, but I mean, in your 40s is kind of a transitional time. That's when you start to become old, but you still have the remnants of that youthful passion, at least. If not actually burning in your heart, you still remember enough of it to wish that it was still there,
Yeah, I suppose.
I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in Obama because of a few different reasons, but the kind of the main thing is his willingness to let, which you talked about a million times, the internet censorship bill. It's still popping up. It's still coming through. They're trying to resurrect it, right? I mean, it's something that keeps popping up, and to me, like, that's really daunting because it means eventually people on the internet have a short attention span. They've fought it tooth and nail thus far, and it hasn't passed. Mm-hmm. Like, the people have really come together and opened their mouth against it, but we're all fucking lazy. We're humans are lazy, especially people on the internet. They're not going to fight that shit forever. It's
right.
Going to happen.
Massively unfortunate. And, he's very much in support of keeping structures the way they are. If it's, intelligence gathering or not really affecting any change in the upper echelons of people who have money in their pockets, taxes or regulating businesses. Just stuff that really counts, There's no real change there.
Am I wrong?
Healthcare, yeah, that's nice and all, but how about, having a system where things work, regulating companies from being just voracious money-gathering institutions?
The fact that he came out personally in support of gay marriage is great. And I had an argument on Facebook with somebody because they quoted Obama as saying, I don't believe that, he said, I believe that a marriage is between a man and a woman. But they didn't take the entire quote, which is typical of people in political discussions. They didn't take the entire quote. And he said, I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, but I don't believe that the state has a right. And by the state, he meant the government. The government does not have a right to tell people who they should and shouldn't marry. And so he's been pretty consistent. Maybe his personal beliefs are that, he prefer that men and women get married, but he doesn't want the state. And he also said that his opinion on that has evolved, and that it's changed. And that's something I can respect because as I get older, I still have the core of the same beliefs when I was younger, but I'm more informed. You're more informed about things when you get older.
Right.
And the fact is that he may be personally in support of it, but he hasn't made any overt gestures to pass gay marriage as a universal federal law. I mean, that's not happening. Or
Or even more importantly than that, which is, I mean, honestly, the, even more important than gay marriage is to pass a decree or a bill that prevents employers from discriminating against people based on their sexual orientation, which is not universal. Some states have those laws. I don't even know if it's state regulated. I think it might even be city regulated.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I mean, that's, you know, I'm all for gay marriage and stuff like that, but, I mean, you know, the first thing we I'd like to do is, yeah, it's nice to be married, but you want to be able to keep your job. Just, I mean, why should you be fired just because you like a cock in the mouth or you like rubbing your vag up against another vag? I mean, that's got nothing to do with your job whatsoever.
Exactly.
And nobody's religious beliefs should be able to impinge on your life in that manner, ever.
Right.
Exactly. Now, what about immigration?
You know, so,
they want to pass immigration. They won't let it get past the House of Representatives. The senator already sent up a bill in regard to immigration pathways to citizenship, you know, kids that are already born here, you know, the people in high
tech. What, are they trying to overhaul the current rules?
Well, yeah. I mean, because it's a mess. It needs to be fixed. You know, paying a fine if you're already here illegally, you know, a pathway to citizenship, some sort of, you know, they're not even accepting visas, you know, like from places like India, you know, we get a lot of doctors, or like Silicon Valley, there's a lot of immigrants.
I think in order to gain citizenship in the U.S., if you're here illegally, you should have to perform one successful abortion on a Republican. That should be the law.
Or kill a Republican.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, at least abortion, we can, you know, we can do the whole what's alive and what's not debate. But, I mean, if you just straight up kill a Republican, I mean, that would be more beneficial. But, I mean, we can't, I mean, that's not, we can't convince
that.
People to go for that, man. Well, it's nice to see that the show is keeping you entertained, Lou. That was very sweet.
Oh, yeah.
You could pull your fucking mouth away from the phone when you yawn on your own show, cocksucker.
Seriously, hit mute.
That was a good show.
Oh, snap. Somebody just got told. Let me What did you say?
Yeah, so I don't, Christy, do you know much about Benghazi? Do you know much about that? Have you done any research on it?
Well, yeah. It's basically, there was a horrible attack at the embassy, and it was rumored at first to be incited by some anti-Muslim thing on YouTube. That was the first intelligence. Four people died that day, one of which was, like, I think it was, like, an ambassador.
Right, right.
And the rest were military guys. And, you know, at first, the administration thought it was the YouTube video, but come to find out, it was actual attack with rocket launchers and everything.
Yeah,
and
it was protests against the, right? Like, that's what they said initially, is that it was,
I thought it
was stirred by protests.
Initially. I thought it was protests initially.
Protests are spilling over from, but it was a
right.
gang of armed men. Now, before we go any further, did anybody see the YouTube video?
It was crap.
No, I haven't.
It
was so. It was like so unprofessional.
It was
cheesy.
Garbage. I'd heard of it,
and most of the summations that I've heard were that the video wasn't anywhere near good enough to piss that many people off.
Yeah,
it was.
It was low budget, to say the least.
Well, there was some issue, though, where the people were supposed to be, like, on a high priority, like, captive list, and now they're not, and they're wondering, like, what the government's role is in, like, apprehending these people, and they're supposed to be, like, a higher priority, and now it's not on the high priority list for some reason. I don't know the whole issue.
Well, the reason I bring up Benghazi is because to this day, I mean, Republicans are still... That's one of the things that they want to hang on Obama when they talk about all of the fucked up stuff that he's done. That's And it's usually the Tea Partiers that are calling the name of Benghazi the loudest, because I think personally it's because they're all crazy. So I when they say something that nobody else is saying, I tend to dismiss it out of experience based on the other
right.
insane claims that they make. But, I mean, they're still crowing about it. They're still saying things about it. So I'm just curious as to what is it. I mean, they're calling it a cover-up. They're saying that the government – what is it that they're saying that the government has tried to cover up? That's what I'm curious about.
I think it's not necessarily – well, I think the issue is that whenever there is an attack of this magnitude, the people are basically – the people who are responsible are basically put on, like, a priority, like, capture list. Like, capture at all costs. This is the reward,
right,
like
right.
$3 million, whatever. And for some reason – the people responsible for these attacks are not on that list.
I understand that. But what is the cover? They're using the specific words cover up. What is that?
Right.
What is
that
referring to?
To be honest with you, I don't know enough about the situation to say what they think the specific cover up is. But I think that is their contention, that there must be some cover up or chicanery or what have you. Because
yeah, I know. I don't understand what the cover up is either, which is why
right.
I'm asking and not talking, dumbass.
Yeah. The context is that at the time that it happened, it was just a couple months before the election, and so there was an attack. Now, the philosophy being from the White House that when attacks occur, the populists usually look towards Republicans who are in people's
so
eyes.
That's the claim. So that's the claim.
Yeah.
It's because...
Because
the because, Democrats
so they didn't
were in
want
power
to acknowledge as an attack
until after the election. I see.
Until
okay.
after the election. So, you know all the internal memorandum was they were edited to say
So is that the claim or is that the truth?
Well, apparently the first round of. Reports that came from intelligence agencies did include statements that said it was part of an Islamic group, I forget the name, that was they did security, they were doing security with the government because the government was so weak from the whole Gaddafi thing. So they kind of hired these Islamist groups to do security, and those guys, being armed and rolling around the city, decided to assault the embassy. So it did include, information that group were part of it, were organized. So
the
no
group
really
that they
knows.
Hired for security was partially responsible for the attack, what you're saying.
Holy. Yeah.
Or fully. Now, Christy, did you hear that there was a request from Christy, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you hear that there was a request from the embassy for increased security because of the possibility of attacks? Had you heard that?
Yes, that has actually, I've heard that after that they are supposedly increasing the security in and around the gates of U.S. embassies all over the world.
Okay, so but specifically, one of the things that I had read was that people were pissed off because now see again, I don't understand why Benghazi is such like this. It sucks that it happened, but like, what about Benghazi was so important that the president needed to completely focus on Benghazi? Like, we have people we have embassies in those dangerous situations. Kind of because it is a dangerous situation and we need, quote-unquote, an American presence there. I don't understand why, even though this attack happened, like, what was so special about Benghazi that the U.S. should have devoted its entire focus, that Obama should have devoted his entire focus to protecting this embassy and making sure that the attacks didn't happen? Like,
there's been several attacks to several U.S. embassies. The one in South Africa, that was horrible. A lot more people died in that one. And, I mean, it's just the main target in these countries. It's something U.S. related. They're going to bomb the shit out of it. You know what I mean? And it happens. And I'm with you with Benghazi. Four people died. It was a tragedy. It should never happen. But I don't understand why it got the attention that it has when there were far worse bombings and incidents.
Distractionary. Well, I think that's kind of the main reason for them bringing it up, Louis, is because, yes, it's distractionary, but and I know they want to nail things to Obama. I know they want to use that as another nail in the cross of persecution. But I can't help but think, like, why is it that these same people call for reduced government? They call for reduced government, and I don't know if they understand what that means. That means less money going towards the government. That means less government endeavors, and it probably is going to mean the shutting down of a few embassies, or at the very least, maybe less resources being put towards it. I mean, of all the things that you think the government needs to do, of all the things that all four of us on this show know that the government needs to do, has to take care of, why is having foreign embassies, why is that at the top of the list for these Tea Partiers, number one? Number two, why do they think that they can sit and say, less government, less government, less government, and then say, well, in the meantime, let's throw more resources to an overseas venture that may or may not be netting any positive results in any way? Like, why can they say in the same breath, we want to reduce the government, and then say, put more government? Like, does that not make sense to any fucking body else?
Did you see the cartoon I put on my Facebook? It's of a lady, and she's pregnant, and you see a side shot of the fetus in her belly. And there's a whole bunch of Republicans, and they're standing around, and they say, oh, we'll do anything to protect you. Now, after the baby's born, and it's still a baby, and it's like, oh, now that you're out here, get a job, sister. And I hope your mom is in you trying to get food stamps for you or medical insurance.
Right.
Like once,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Their priorities are skewed. They're not in line with, like, everyday people. You know, they want this ultra-conservative. They want to basically roll us back. Yes, I do want to smoke. Go ahead and roll up. Basically, it's... They're just not in step. They're just in this bubble, this conspiracy bubble, you know, that, you know, he's not a legitimate president. He's un-American. He's lazy. You know, anything to undermine the president, anything to undermine that goes against their ideals of America, their Ayn Rand utopian vision where everybody shits on the little guy and it's the little guy's fault that he's poor, black, or, you know, uneducated. It's sickening. I don't understand it. I don't.
Yeah. Louis?
Pathetic. I was going to say something, I forgot.
We've established
once again the hypocrisy of the Tea Party, and before we get cut off, I'd like to shift the conversation to two things very quickly, if I can. Mick, quickly tell us why you've now discovered the sex offender registry and how to search it. Why? Why is it?
Why is part of my new dual role in my new job? So I have to do, like, background checks on everybody who, like...
Well, of all the people to put in charge of that, I mean, it's a great way to kind of hide your own involvement in it.
I know. Isn't that phenomenal?
So you have to look it up?
Yeah, basically, you have to do background checks on, like, everybody who volunteers for us. So one of those things that I have to do is, like, go to the sex offender registry and make sure that I'm in there.
That is terrible.
That's great. And real quick before we get cut off, Kanye West said this week that forget about Michelle Obama, that he and Kim Kardashian are the real first couple. And
Kanye.
And that's, I mean, basically Michelle Obama didn't get famous because she got pounded by Ray J. Like, that's all I got to say about that.
Say that again? That he said that